Hi, everybody. This is Lori and Laura from the Twilight Lexicon. You might better know us as Alfie and Pell. Say hi, Laura.
Hello.
Hello. Here we are. We are podcasting for the first time.
I have to do this just for old time's sake.
Oh.
Are we recording?
I just had to do it. Yeah, because we just aren't talented with the podcasting thing, are we? That's kind of where we stopped.
I love it. We're like, this is like really cool. We're not like high tech that we're actually doing this over a normal like telephone instead of having our stupid little headsets with the little microphones on, and you had to sit there and hope that you didn't jiggle the microphone because then you'd get feedback. And
oh, well, so it was so old school because I didn't have a laptop back in the day. I didn't have a laptop. So I had to sit at my desk, and my kids' rooms are right there. And so I had to speak kind of quietly or keep the microphone really close to my mouth. And if we got to giggling, which was pretty much every single time we podcast, then yeah, it was all over. It was, my kids would wake up and they would walk in and, "Mommy, who are you talking to?"
Those are good classic moments, though. I mean, it was kind of fun just watching, like, children and husbands just sort of walk through as we were podcasting, you know, and we just, you know, do things like, you know, sign field trip forms, like, in the middle of the podcast, going, "Here, bring me that in a bed," and we'd just be right back, you know.
So we haven't done this since before Eclipse was published, correct?
Which is 2 years ago, maybe 18 months ago. Yeah, a little more than
that. Good grief.
I know.
Good grief.
Because
well,
we used to do one of these like every month.
I know. Or sometimes we would do two or three. Do you remember the one where we recorded it probably like 6 times and the jokes just weren't funny anymore? Because we kept messing up.
Yep. I know. One more time. Try to make the joke sound spontaneous. Take 12.
Yes. So we're recording this. We're doing the podcast because we have been online for 4 years, and we thought, oh, what are we going to do to celebrate our 4th anniversary? So I just tossed it out there. How about we do a podcast of funny moments in the last couple of years that we haven't been able to share because we stopped podcasting?
And so this is cool. I'm sort of like living in fear right now that we're going to get like this avalanche of emails or tweets saying, "You need to do more podcasts."
Well, see, the reason we stopped podcasting is that people who are better than us started podcasting. Imprint, Twilight Series.
Yeah, seriously. Huge shout out to those guys because they do it like on a regular basis. They're awesome at it.
They have better tools
and better toys. Actually, I have to say that Andrew Sims is my tech god. Every time Andrew tweets about, you know, acquiring some piece of software or puts up some link to whatever the latest gadget is, I just like immediately go and check it out. It's sort of like my instantaneous, you know, recommendation. It's been recommended by Andrew Sims. I'm getting it. I know that's just pathetic on my part, but, yeah, that's what I do.
He had the iPhone, right? And
yep.
They were playing with their iPhones. Oh, my gosh. To watch Matt and Andrew text message on their iPhones is frightening. They are so fast.
Yes. O to be 20 and have lightning fast reach.
Well,
again.
I think they have a game that they play that teaches you how to text on those things.
It doesn't matter. I'm old enough to be their mother. It's not happening.
Whenever you hand me the iPhone and you say, "Here, tweet this," or whatever, it takes me like 20 minutes because I'm like, A, F.
Yes, have like, fun typing on that membrane. Oh, it's a lot of fun.
I hate that thing. I will stick with my BlackBerry. Thank you. Hey, the last time we podcast, I didn't have a smartphone. How about that?
I was just going to say, I think I had a phone at the time that was, you know, you just, you know, it was like you were tapping out Morse code to text anybody.
I hit
the 3 key 4 times, and it just, oh, my gosh.
You're
talk
so
about,
old.
Like, just, yeah, seriously, I mean, that's, like, one of the weirdest things, too, is just, like, how much, since we started this,
technology
has changed. I mean, we were when we started this, we were, like, so incredibly, like, web forum driven. There was no Facebook. I mean, can you imagine that?
There was no Facebook.
There was no Facebook. Or
there was
Facebook
no Twitter.
Yeah, there was no Twitter. MySpace was huge at the time. which
and I hated MySpace.
Yeah, I know. For me, it was like a graphic nightmare. Like, it was like our first day in graphic design school gone amok. But, I mean, MySpace now, except for, like, music and movie things, I mean, I don't know who's, like, seriously on MySpace every day. It used to be a big thing. But, I mean, now it's like Facebook expanded out of the universities. Now everybody's on Facebook. I mean, there wasn't Facebook when we started. There wasn't Twitter. Like, even, I mean, there was YouTube, but YouTube, like, 4 years ago wasn't what YouTube is now. I mean, you didn't have people that are, you know, vlogging, like, and really getting, like, tons and tons of hits. Like,
we had no Twilight Guy.
Yeah, I was just saying, we had no Twilight Guy. I mean, Caleb, I mean, absolutely. I mean, you just didn't, I mean, nobody had a regular show that anybody watches. I mean, now, like, Caleb goes on blog TV and there's like 400 people in the room within like 30 seconds. You know, it's like, whoa. So, yeah, I mean, just, it's like so cool, like, where the technology has gone. We've learned slowly, sometimes by making huge mistakes, but we've learned.
Yeah,
so.
And our site has gone completely different, and we've figured out how to make the whole WordPress thing change around.
Yeah,
from,
really
from
worked. Really, I mean, we went from I mean, we went from a right single sidebar, I think, into now a three-column design and
with
cascading menus,
waterfalls.
All those pretty little things in custom design backdrops and
It was like we spoke what the dream was for our website to our tech people, and they, like, made it happen.
Which
and
was,
I
like,
thought,
very
oh, my
cool.
gosh, you mean I can say things and it happens? Wow!
Right. our tech people, that makes us sound, like, so much more impressive than we really are. That would be tech person. And
well,
that would be my husband.
Well, yeah, no, but we also worked with some software people.
That's true. We do have some connections
initially.
That they do, and then we have a whole other design team that helps us do like the whole graphics and everything like
but
that.
Now,
and that was a whole grouping
broken,
of people.
Now, if something's broken, we just Kevin, this is
it's
broken.
That's funny.
I found a broken link today that he needs to fix anyway. I need to.
Oh, he'll go and do that. He likes doing stuff like that, which is great because I don't like doing the repair stuff so much, and he thrives on it. So more power to him. Always happy. We were talking too earlier about, like, you know, how the site's grown, and there is this little homage somewhere if somebody's really smart of what. There's a little homage to what the very first image was on the lexicon back in the day before we turned the site purple. There is...
Yeah, it wasn't purple, believe it or not.
It wasn't purple. Yeah, it was very autumn, shall I say?
Yes, it was.
So somebody's like...
It was more like... It had a little bit of more of a traditional Twilight color to it. Yes.
Yeah. It was, I mean, it was just a placeholder. I mean, that's like the thing that, like, a lot of people will say to us, you know, when is your anniversary? And the thing is, it wasn't, like, we built the site during the month of March. And there was a day that the forums were fully functioned, and then there was a day, okay, we got the timeline up on this day. We got a good chunk of character bios on that day. We had a certain amount of mythology on this day. Like,
but
by and large...
There was, like, a day that we showed it to Stephanie, and there was, like, a day... You know, when was it actually online? I have no idea.
Yeah, I mean, by the end of March, it was, I mean, to a certain extent, what the basic shell of what you see there today was fully functional by the end of March, meaning that there was a blog, there were forums, and then there was things like the personal correspondences, the timeline.
Were there,
like,
forums? I don't think there were forums.
Yeah, no, we did. We had the forums, like,
forums
ready
to... Forums came a
little
bit later.
Like, ready to roll. Well, that was, like, towards the end of March. The forums we didn't get until, like, the very end of March, and then we
because
definitely
Because I was like,
them.
I don't want to do forums. I don't want to do... Don't make me do forums. The one thing that I really didn't want to do that we have stuck to, thank you, that you didn't, but I did, no fan fiction.
Oh, my gosh. Oh,
and
thank
isn't
you that,
just
that we
awful
were so smart not to do that.
The lexicon wouldn't exist if it wasn't for fan fiction. For
I'm just kind of glad that I can
but
sit
I
here and
it.
Not get involved
it.
In fan fiction shipping
it.
Wars between
I know.
Whether it's Jacob or Edward or...
I lived
like,
through
like some of
the
some of the sites now are really... Oh, gosh. Sometimes they're really into like a real person fix
that.
And stuff. I am so
oh
glad
gosh.
I don't have to live through... Yeah, we lived through the Harry Potter version of that. Yeah, we are so glad we are not living through, like, that's like just one, like, one less thing to moderate in life.
I know, and
is people killing themselves over fictional characters. Yeah.
Occasionally I go into fanfiction.net and I look at things and I read a few things, but I don't dare comment because I don't want to start anything up. I still get people emailing me all the time that says, oh, you should add this piece of fanfiction. I'm like, I don't comment, I don't post, I don't do anything here anymore. Why are you still emailing me? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't had time to read fanfic. I mean, I used to read it all the time. I still have a fanfic site, which I haven't added fanfic to until for, like, over a year. There are people who, God love them, they're still posting and writing, and more power to them. But I don't have, I haven't had time to read any kind of, like, fanfiction in the longest time. In fact, somebody asked me at one of the conventions, oh, could you recommend fanfic? And I said, you know, I would feel really bad doing that because I haven't read any in so long. I'm going to overlook, you know, somebody's, like, fantastic work. Like, you know, people who've been around in the last 2 years. And that's just, like, so completely not fair to any of them because I haven't read anything. So it's like, okay, I'm not giving fanfic recs. I usually just, like, point them at, like, fanfiction.net or I point them to Twilighted and I say, here, there are places or Google good Twilight fanfic, you'll find something. Or go to the forums, you'll find it, you know.
Somebody on the forum sent me a bunch of links to some good Garrett and Kate fanfiction, and I was like, oh, I can
really
get into this.
That
I can
be
get
cool
into this. Minor characters that aren't as fully developed, and yeah.
Yeah, I have
can
to say, in Breaking Dawn, he was, like, definitely, like, my favorite new character. I was
I love
ooh,
Garrett.
I'm liking this guy.
Love Garrett.
Definitely liking this guy.
Okay, so we thought what we would do in this podcast is tell you some of our favorite stories of what happened over the last couple of years, instead of just, like, rehashing the history of what happened, which is
yeah, because we thought we don't want to sit there and go, okay, so in June 2007, like, yeah, no one wants to sit
and then
that.
We stood in line for how many hours to see the Breaking Dawn concert, and then
nobody wants to deal with that.
We don't, so we're just going to tell you some of the funny stories that have happened to us, and they're in no particular order, in just kind of like a random order. Since we already touched on Matt and Andrew, let's just start with that one. I'm going to out Laura right here that she's a huge Matt and Andrew fangirl. I know. See, all right, so here's the story. So part of the reason why we stopped podcasting is because other people do it better than us, right? And Matt and Andrew from Imprint Podcast are two of those people, and they did the Muggle Cast.
Muggle Cast from the Harry Potter site, MuggleNet.com.
From MuggleNet.
Here's
the thing. Laura was a MuggleNet girl. I was a Leaky Cauldron girl. Yes, MuggleNet people, I have seen the error of my ways, and I've started relying on MuggleNet because now I know people there. Yes. But Laura played most of the time in the Harry Potter fandom on MuggleNet. I got my news from the Leaky Cauldron. It's just kind
of... like, I remember, like, MuggleNet back before you could, like, pick your own, like, funky design as to what you wanted to watch, look at the site in, and, yeah, so
I have to say that the Wall of Shame has always been one of my favorite things.
Oh, my gosh, brilliant.
On the internet.
Brilliant. So to give you, like, the idea of, like, how much of a MuggleNet fangirl geek I am, I was on that site, like, forever. When the Prisoner of Azkaban movie was having its premiere in New York City, I went down to go stand and watch the premiere, and I took, you know, pictures of the actors. I also took pictures of the MuggleNet crew that were there, and I sent it to the MuggleNet crew. I mean, how embarrassing is that?
I didn't know that!
Yeah, and then I also kind of, like, wasn't supposed to really be there. I sort of played hooky from a job at the time to be there. And I suddenly realized that
hooky from our job.
Right. Well, I was standing right next to somebody who had basically made a Dementor. And I quickly realized that I am now standing in what is going to be the most photographed area of the day. And I have absolutely nowhere to move. Plus, I was right up against the guardrail. I'm not moving. I got a great view. So every time, like, a news crew would come around, I would, like, duck, or I would turn, or I would just... So there's this shot. I think it's Time Magazine might have the shot of the guys with the Dementor, and, like, my elbow is in the shot, but you can't tell it's me because I was just, like, ducking. So anyway, there you can see it. Like, there's my Harry Potter geekdom coming out. So
okay, so...
Yeah.
So she, we get an email in the admin email box, and she calls me, just all a flutter. Lori, do you know who just sent us an email? No. She's like, Matt and Andrew from MuggleNet. Okay.
No, I didn't even say from MuggleNet. I think I said Andrew. I was like, Andrew Sims sent us an email. And she went, Andrew who?
Who?
Like, and she was like, Andrew from MuggleNet.
From MuggleNet. They're talking about a podcast. And I was like, okay, are you okay? So then when we went to Vancouver for the set visit, and
oh, I hate you.
Matt was there, and Matt was there, and she was like, okay, forget Rob Pattinson and all that. I'm with Matt from Imprint Podcast.
I officially hate you. I'm going to take the site down. The guys at Imprint are now, like, crawling under the furniture and going, I don't want to go near her.
It wasn't like that. We've all had a moment of meeting somebody that,
Yeah, that's true. So that was my fangirl moment. I did not drool on them. I was I might have drooled on myself, but I didn't drool on them.
Whereas there are several people in other fandoms where I to meet them, I would be like that. Yeah, it just wasn't Matt and Andrew. Although I adore Matt and Andrew now. And we have decided that Laura is the Andrew and I am the Matt, right?
Something like that.
Something like that. The person who has the technical calmness and the person who's like spastic and crazy, right?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Yeah, that is true. So, like, the yin and yang of personalities going on here.
The yin and yang. Okay, so should we embarrass me now?
Sure. It's only fair.
It's only fair. So probably my most embarrassing moment of all time, ever, was on the set of Twilight.
This is hilarious.
We went out to the area where they were using in Portland for La Push, and it's the day that Catherine Hardwicke said made grown men cry. It was the worst day of filming ever.
Right. Now, for those of you who have never met Lori, there is something that Lori and I share in the fact that neither of us is particularly coordinated. So sending either of us onto a rocky beach in a day where you're being pelted with wind, rain, hail, with an umbrella in one hand and a gigantic pocketbook. Now, if you've never met Lori, Lori doesn't do small purses. Lori's purse could take out a small army. So Lori's out there on the beach with her purse slung over one shoulder, an umbrella over her head, and I will let you now continue with what you did.
So, well, it's Kristen Stewart, right? And I want to talk to Kristen Stewart. So they had just gotten done filming the scene where Jacob and her are talking on the beach, and she's walking away, and it's kind of a break time. And so we just approach her, and we ask her if we can talk to her for a second. She was very gracious, and she introduced herself to us even. Hi, I'm Kristen. Yeah, we know who you are. And we started filming, and we started asking her these nice questions. And now she is appropriately dressed for this hellacious weather that we're experiencing. Me, I was on a film set. I thought, ooh, I'm going to go on a film set today. So I looked fairly cute, and I had, you know, kind of cute shoes on, and totally inappropriate for a wet beach.
Yeah, cute died within about 5 minutes of you getting there. Then you went from cute to drowned rat in a hot 5 minutes.
Exactly. And so the tide comes in and sloshes up on us, and so we have to back up. And this is all documented on our video that's highly spliced and edited to avoid the embarrassment. But we keep backing away from the ocean, and then this huge gust of wind, because I've got a video camera that we're trying to protect from the elements with an umbrella. This huge gust of wind comes along and blows the umbrella inside out, a la Mary Poppins, which is bad. You're talking to, you know, Kristen Stewart, and your umbrella is now turned inside out. But it also went into my hair and completely tangled itself in my hair to the point where it was completely stuck. And Kristen Stewart looks up at me and in all graciousness is like, oh, here, let me help you take this from your hair. Oh, I was so embarrassed.
Yeah, so things apparently not in Kristen Stewart's Twilight contract. Get the umbrella out of the hair of the ding-dong who showed up on the rainy day.
That's right. That's right. But we have had some good fame from the fact that we stayed there all day, though. You
That's
know?
True. That's
Justin
true.
Justin Chan, every time I see Justin Chan, he's like, that's my girl. She was there all day.
That's true. Mike Welsh, too, is like, oh, my God, you people were there forever.
Hello?
Yep, we're here. We didn't disconnect.
What did that just happen?
I don't know. It's a blip, but, hey, it wouldn't be one of our podcasts if we didn't have a blip.
Okay, so Justin Chan, every time we see him, he's like, those girls are intense. They were on that beach all day. And even Catherine Hardwicke said something about it in a I think in Atlanta, at a convention in Atlanta, she even talked about that worst day. And then she said, where's the Twilight lexicon? It was terrible, wasn't it? It was a bad day. So, yeah, we've been kind of singled out for the fact that we survived that awful day, even with the umbrella in the hair. If ever I actually got a chance to come face-to-face again with Kristen Stewart and she realized who I was, I'm sure she would have.
I want a picture of that. She's going to be like, oh, look, it's the girl with the umbrella.
You're the girl with the umbrella in your hair. Yeah. I'm going to do an interview with you? Uh-huh, right. Wrong. Wrong.
Yeah, run fast. It's the umbrella chick.
So speaking of coordination, do you want to tell the Eddie Gaffigi story?
Oh, man.
No, it's a good story.
It is a good story. It does go to my complete and utter lack of coordination. When the Twilight DVD came out, we were in the Borders at Penn Station in New York City. And what happens is we were there for a podcast, which we had done earlier in the evening. And then one of the guys who we knew really well from Borders, we had done a couple of things with him for like a year and a half by that point. And he turns to me and he says, listen, he goes, we're going to be getting one of the Twilight stars here in the store. And Borders Media is going to interview him. He goes, now I could ask this guy a question, but I don't know all the really good questions. Can you do the interview for us? I was like, okay, yeah, sure. So I said I'd do it. Now, mind you, I'm living for the day that they asked me to do this where I have my hair that looks normal. But anyway, so we get on, you know, we're in the interview queue, and there's probably like four or five media outlets ahead of us. So we're at the end of it, and each one of the outlets is asking Eddie questions about Twilight. And you can tell, like, all of these guys have either never seen the movie or never read the books. I mean, they're talking about fangs and blood and, you know, Eddie's smiling and gritting his teeth and trying to, like, answer the
typical
question.
Typical major media question.
Yes, and, yeah, and, like, you know, just, you know, so what have you. So we get up to me, and I actually have, like, movie-based questions that don't betray the plot. Like I said, so, you know, you're going to be going up for New Moon, so do you get to have shoes this time? And he looks at me, and I said, well, you were barefoot the last time. I said, any chance Laurent has found shoes? And he laughs, and he does that. And then I said, you know, we've all heard the story of how you've, you know, pranked Jackson Rathbone, at both the voice of Kelly. I said, we've all heard that story. I said, but here's the thing, like, how convincing were you? Is any chance you could do the voice of Kelly? And it was really cool because he did it. And that was, like, the first time, I think, anybody had ever actually gotten him to do the voice of Kelly. So I was, like, very proud of myself.
You know what? There are
people that
probably don't know the story of Kelly.
Oh, Kelly is, Eddie Gaffigi pranked Jackson Rathbone. Eddie Gaffigi does these fantastic voices. You would have no idea. He's, like, incredibly convincing. He does a couple of them. Anyway,
it's like little girl's voice like this.
Yeah. He pranked called Jackson Rathbone's room when they were filming Twilight to tell him that he needed to get up at, like, 6 o'clock in the morning because they were going to re-dye his hair a different color again because he didn't like how blonde it was. And he had Jackson, like, totally falling for it, hook, line, and sinker. So, anyway, I wanted him to do the voice. So he did the voice, and then he answered another question. So we finished the interview, And we stop, and then, you know, I shake his hand and say, you know, thank you very much. And he can see that I'm holding a mic that says Borders Media. And I had introduced myself before it. And he goes, wait. He goes, where are you from? It's not Borders. And I said, oh, I'm from the Twilight Lexicon. I said, and we had also got a little tote bag that we brought with us that said I Heart Black Olives on it because of the whole Eddie Gathegi saying, you know, there are olive-toned skin pieces. People, Laurent is written as an olive-toned-skinned people, and there are olives in all different shades, and some are black, some are green, some are tan, some are, you know, so he goes, oh, I'm a black olive. So we got him a bag that said, I heart black olives. So I said, oh, I'm from the Twilight Lexicon. I said, and this is for you. By the way, we really do love black olives. So he turns and looks, sees this, like, tote bag that we made for him with the, you know, symbol on it and everything, turns around, looks at me, and he goes, yes! And he like goes to like, you know, do like a punch in the air kind of thing. Not a Jersey Shore punch in the air, but like a hooray punch in the air. Wrong punch. Anyway, there's a drop ceiling in this room. Like this room seriously is like maybe 5 feet by 5 feet. It is the tiniest alcove I've ever seen in my life. He misses the drop ceiling by like an eighth of an inch. Like really, I thought the ceiling tile was gonna come down on us. And then he turns to me to high-five me. And the
now here comes the coordination thing again.
Thing, oh, man. And I'm just like, oh, no. Oh, no. And all I can think of is drop ceilings, low walls, don't slap Eddie Gathegi across the face. I mean, literally, like, this is all going through my mind. I'm like, please, God, let me make contact and not in his nose. And I made it. I was, like, so proud of myself because I was like, I'm no good at that. I just suck. I admit that. I just suck. So I was, like, very proud of myself that, like, I didn't, you know, take out Eddie Gathegi's eye or anything, you know, having to do a spontaneous high five because, seriously, that was possible. That was really possible. So that was my,
That wasn't
Eddie
an
Gathegi
embarrassing
story.
Moment. It was a good moment.
It was a good moment. It was a good moment. It could have been disastrous, but it was a good moment. I'm so glad that disaster did not strike that day. I'm very happy.
One of the things that we get asked a lot at conventions or just in emails or, you know, just anyone talking to us asks us all the time who our favorite celebrities are or, you know, who have you met and who are your favorite celebrities kind of a thing. And I think they're expecting us to really go all fangirly over certain celebrities over just the fact that we've gotten to meet them, and we don't tend to do that, do we?
I
do it more than
yeah.
Anyone.
You are absolutely much
I'm
more giggly than me.
I
would say that neither of us is like really prone to screaming, but
no.
Like you're definitely more like the giddy, giggly, smiley, bouncy up and down
smiling
kind of person.
Well, and it's usually when they walk away and they're
yes.
not looking
oh,
anymore,
once they walk
go,
away,
oh
you're
God,
like, yeah.
You know,
yeah,
I turn
that's
into
you.
A blubbering idiot. Well,
yeah.
Okay. So the first time that I was in the presence of Peter Facinelli, it was all I could do to stay on my chair and not fall over because Laura was sitting right next to me and Peter comes on the stage and we were going to run a Q&A with him. And that was the first time we ever saw him in person and he just sat down and I look at Laura and I'm like, am I in my body? I'm about to fall out of my chair. He is just so charming. I handle myself very well.
One of the moments during that I actually kind of remember really clearly, which is pretty funny, is, you know, we're sitting in these like kind of director's chairs or stool. I don't even remember. But I have this really clear memory of watching you take your hand and put it under your chin
yes.
and like leaning on it.
I like
and I'm thinking
myself.
That's okay. So that she doesn't drop her jaw.
I'm going to fall out of my chair.
It
yes.
was just
I have been in Peter Facinelli's presence many, many more times since then, and I'm perfectly composed and you know, I'm fine. But that first instance, I was like, oh, my God.
He was wearing a To Die For navy blue Armani suit.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah,
gosh.
It was.
And he smelled
yeah.
so good. Oh, okay. But see, now, in my defense, there is another actor who has managed to get the rest of us in the same way. I have the same reaction. But see, okay, really, I'm the only one who gets completely flustered like that around anybody, you know, just like, oh my gosh, yeah, yeah, until like one by one, the member of our admin team met Kellen Lutz.
Yeah,
it was like
clutched.
Seriously, one by one, all of us have had this, like, Kellen Lutz has the power to make women go stupid. I mean,
yep.
It's just, it is, when you are in his gaze, and he's looking at you for the minute that he is looking at you or conversing with you or signing your autograph.
You just sort of spontaneously lose IQ points.
Like, yes. Your brain just seeps out your ears, and you just turn into a just, what happens? I don't know what it is about him. I don't know. It just happens. And the first telling of it that we got was from Be My Escape. She worked the red carpet for Twilight with the Twilight guy, with Caleb Nation. And she tells the story at the creation events that we go to, that when Kellen came up to be interviewed, that she just kind of had to take a step back. She was like, oh, my gosh, it's just too much Kellen. And then he went away to go talk to somebody else. And then came back to her, and she was like, no, you have to go away. I can't talk to you anymore. You're too overpowering.
Bamboozled by the baby blues.
Yes. So we had that story, and she kept sticking by it, like, oh, but the one that'll always get you is Kellen. The one that'll get you is Kellen. And,
right.
And we kept
going,
any of us,
yeah,
we were
right.
We were like, whatever,
right,
it's
sure,
just Kellen.
Whatever.
Yeah,
we're like, oh, come on. How? Yeah, I mean, like, literally, we were like, okay, yeah, sure. You know, kind of thinking, she's, because you have to understand, too, she's kind of like me in that she doesn't do the giggly thing. I think we skipped that stage when we were 13, you know, and 13-year-olds get through that whole, like, that giggly, squealy thing. I think we just sort of skipped that. So
I'm
we were just like, we just figured she was pulling our leg.
Yeah.
So fast
then,
forward to you.
So, I mean, I met him the same time that you guys met him.
That's true.
It was in Atlanta, the same convention that we had the thing with Catherine Hardwick. Kellen Lutz was there. And he did, if you've been to any of Creation's events, sometimes they show clips from other conventions. It's the push-up convention.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yep.
You know, we'd already had this experience of watching Kellen on stage do push-ups and tell stories that were...
It's hilarious stories. Double entendres and everything in the mix.
Yes, the innuendos were all there. Yeah, so we were already kind of on a cloud nine kind of a thing that Kellen was a fantastic entertainer for the convention. And then...
Yeah, because that's actually like a really good point, and just like a tangent. Like, some people are fantastic on film, but not so much live. Like, Kellen is, like, fantastic live. I mean, some people are... That's just a talent, to be able to turn it on live for an audience, and that's clearly, like, something he's very good at.
Yes. Oh, yes. Yeah. And so we were kind of on that, oh, he was great kind of a thing, and they have a ball in the evening, and we had all gone to change into our dresses for the ball, and this was back in the day where we still did kind of the vampire thing, because we all wore capes that night, which I don't think we wear capes anymore.
They just take up too much space in the luggage.
I know, I can carry so many more things than a cape. Yeah, so we don't do the capes anymore, but we all wore a cape that evening to the ball, and we didn't even get to dance or anything, because when the celebrities came in, they said that the celebrities were going to come to our tables and talk to us. And we had the option of either having the celebrity sit down at the table and talk to us, or they would give us hugs.
Well,
and
what moron is going to sit there? Yeah.
I looked at everyone at the table, and I was like, I don't want to talk to Kellen. I want hugs. I said, which one of you doesn't want a hug? Come on, really? You want a hug? So he came to our table, and then he started giving everybody hugs. And he didn't know who we were, or he didn't know that we were fan side operators or anything. So did he hug me first, or did he hug you first?
I think he hugged you first.
I don't know, but I don't even remember it, because it was just like, but guys, seriously, when he looks at you, for the minute that he looks at you, it's like you're the center of the world. And he's not the type of guy I would be attracted to or anything. It's just this intense, gays, you know, so I don't want you to think that it's like that I've turned into, you know, some kind of a cougar or something over this. It's just this intense, very meaningful, very real moment. And then he moves on to Laura and gives Laura a hug.
Which is,
and I remember
wearing,
this part because
yes,
now
yes.
I've returned to my body.
Yeah, so
and I can
end up with this hug, and I'm wearing, I guess Lori had probably taken off the cape she was wearing. I'm still wearing it. It's a very satiny cape that won at a costume contest, which is a whole other story. But it's this really satiny red and black cape. So I guess when he gave me the hug, he kind of realized the fabric moved kind of differently.
Well, but your dress was like the reverse color of your cape.
That's true.
Your dress and your cape were
kind of coordinated. I mean, it wasn't really
meant.
Very
coordinated.
That wasn't really the plan. It just kind of worked that way.
I think you flipped your cape around reverse, even.
I might have. I don't even remember. So then he looks at me and he goes, like, kind of pulls back, like, what is that? And he looks and he goes, wow. And he looks at the cape and then he looks at me and he goes, you look fantastic. To which I respond, you know, thank you very much. That's very nice of you to say. And because I'm like, you know, thank you. You know, you take the compliment. But, you know, I mean, let's face it. I'm a good 15 years older than, like most of the room here, you know.
Well, but what's he going to say? Oh, my gosh, you're ugly.
Yeah, I mean, let's face it. You know, I mean, Brooke Shields, I'm not. So I'm like, so then he just stops and he goes, no, I mean it. You look fantastic. At which point I went, and afterwards I looked at Lori and said, I don't care if he's lying. I don't care if he's pulling it out. But I don't care what his motivation is. I'm taking that one to the grave.
Oh,
that's all I'm going to say.
And we have compared notes on this with other people as they encounter the Kellen experience, as we say.
It's the eyes. Just avoid the eyes.
The
you
eyes.
Look him in the shoulder, you're fine. Just avoid the eyes.
He manages to get his eye contact firmly attached to your eye contact, you know, and you have that moment. Oh, just forget it.
Yeah,
just
don't.
Your
just,
brain.
Just look at his shoulder. Really, just avoid the eyes. You'll be fine. Just you know, I don't know. Look at the dimples. Maybe that's fine. I don't know.
Just
avoid the eyes. You're lost. You're done for. It's all over. You're toast. So
then probably one of my favorite stories, oh, I wish I had been there, and I wish I need to see this footage, is a story that Laura tells, and that she told me shortly after it happened, as I was trying to live vicariously through my friends who were on the red carpet for New Moon. So I'm going to let you tell your Rob story.
Yeah. All right. So this is kind of funny. So we're on the red carpet. And we, as far as we knew, we were on the red carpet basically to get interviews, and it's sort of like a hodgepodge. It's potluck whether people come over to you or not. It has to do with timing and, you know, how many people are there at once and who you're already interviewing. Anyway, long story short, it's like chaos on wheels. It really is. So at a certain point, we had this, there was nobody immediately over by us. So I start filming what I'll call like background footage. So I was filming like the crowd across from me. I was filming the whole photography corps that was behind me. And then I could see some of the stars from Twilight were greeting each other on the carpet because I guess some of them hadn't seen each other from filming. And, you know, I got some really cool footage of people, like, you know, greeting and giving, like, a really great hug. Like, at one point it was really hilarious. Eddie Gaffegi was behind Rob Pattinson. He was, like, tapping him on the shoulder. And the security guy who was with Rob obviously had not a clue who Eddie was and was just like, whoa, who's this dude? And I'm like, oh, come on. You know, so Rob finally turns around, sees it's Eddie, gives him like a big, you know, hug, pat in the back kind of thing. So I'm filming like background footage of all this. So as I'm doing this, out of the peripheral of my eye, I can see the other three people who we're with this weekend.
Who were not on the red carpet.
Who were not on the red carpet because you're only allowed, you had to pair up with another site. I was paired up with Callie from Twilight Series. So out of the corner of my eye, I can see Cassie, who's her sister, Matt from Imprint, and another person who are all there. And they're each wearing this really brightly colored shirt, so that's how I noticed them each at first. And the three of them have, like, run across the road from where they were standing, and they're now standing to the front entryway of the theater. And they're jumping up and down and high-fiving each other. And now I'm watching them empty their pockets and take out ID and grabbing what, to me, looks like the Willy Wonka golden ticket from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. I'm about to become apoplectic at this point because
they're getting
we weren't even invited. We, as far as we knew, we were just there to, you know, just get beyond the red carpet. We weren't getting in to see the movie, and that's what had happened the year before. So I watched the three of them, and I'm like, no.
They're going in the theater.
I'm like, and I'm totally.
And it's not even the theater across the street. It's the theater where the stars are.
It's the good theater. As I am like completely like in this moment, and because I've been in this moment, what I've been filming on the video camera, and I'm not really paying attention to what I'm doing. So my thumb has moved in on the zoom, and I have like hyper zoomed this sort of generic area where I'm filming. So I'm just like, ah, oh, Jesus. So I turn around and I look at my viewfinder, and I'm like, what have I got on film? And I look, and I'm like, the heck is that? And I'm going, and I start zooming out, and I'm like, oh, man, I just filmed somebody's rear end for God knows how long. So I zoom out more. I'm like, who the heck did I film? Some security guy? Who is this? Film out, and, oh, I have 30 seconds of Rob Pattinson's butt in that special.
And when she told me the story, I said, don't delete it, Laura. We can probably post that, and people will enjoy it.
Yeah, so I have this B-reel footage of, and you can probably, I haven't actually listened to it. I was watching it on the plane on the way back. I'm sure I am cursing a blue streak. In the background going, you know, despite the fact that we are a PG-13 website, Lori will attest to the fact that I was born and raised in New York, and my language is fairly colorful on most occasions. So I can only imagine what the audio track of this sounds like. I am so sure it's not PG-13.
I still think you should cut it.
I'll have to go dig it up and look at it, because it was just like, I've filmed Rob's butt. No one's ever going to believe that this is how this happened.
As I watch all these people run into the theater.
Now, fortunately, I have to say, the good part was is that we then discovered very shortly thereafter that we were going to get into the movie, too, but we had no idea of that at the time. I mean, I'm just watching this happen, and I'm just spazzing out completely, you know. So, but that was fun, yeah. So we have footage of Rob's rear end, which I'm sure many people would want.
So the other thing that we say a lot, or have said a lot over the 4 years, and maybe we should just stop saying it because Laura coined the term, that her benchmark for surreal changes almost daily.
Like, daily. I mean, I'm just where I think, you know, I will never see this happen again, or surely this can't have, you know, just, yeah, there
surely
are just
this
moments
didn't happen
going,
in my life.
What?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, are you kidding me? Yeah.
Did that just happen? Yeah. So our benchmark for surreal, so some of the moments that have just kind of left us speechless in the, oh, my gosh, did that just happen? Well, for Laura is the Twitter fiend, okay? I've kind of caught the Twitter bug, but no. I would say 99% of the tweets that come from the lexicon are Laura. She's the Twitter fiend. She's all about Twitter. And unless we're at a convention that she is not attending, and then those tweets are mine. But the day that Peter Facinelli retweeted us, you would have thought, I think she got a bigger high out of that than getting to go into the theater for New Moon.
I probably did. 500,000 followers on Twitter. I mean, you know how many people send him an at message a minute? Never mind a day. You know, there's a power outage in some third world country every time Peter tweets. All the energy goes that way.
And you know what? Every time I try to say Peter tweets, it comes out Tweeter Pete.
Oh, good Lord.
No, I have said Tweeter Pete more than I have said Peter tweet.
Yeah, I did. I kind of like, but I don't even remember what it was. He retweeted something that we said, and my little fingers froze above the keyboard. I went,
Peter retweeted
by Peter Fetch, and it's like little claw hands, too, because like you're typing, and then you just sort of freeze. So you're in this little, like, claw hand mode. You can't move, and you're like, oh, my God.
Oh, claw hand mode.
Yeah, you're just sort of
that.
Like, yeah, you're just like, it's kind of like a little cat going, "Arr," you know.
Well, another Peter story, we have a lot of stories about Peter Facinelli, don't we? He had the vampire app for the iPhone, and we got an email from, it wasn't his publicist, was it?
It was the 211me guys who helped create the app.
Yeah, okay, and so they email us and they say, would you like to do an interview with Peter about the app? And we said, absolutely, and so we wrote up some questions, sent them off to them for Peter to answer, and they said, you know what, he'd rather do this on the phone, probably because, you know, it doesn't take as long to talk as it does to type. And so we were like, yeah, heck yeah, we'll do a phone interview with Peter, and our questions, we don't want to talk to Peter.
No, we'll just say
so our questions, we'd even cleared them with them that yeah, we were going to talk about the app, but we were also going to talk about the movies as well. And so we get ready to do the phone call, and we've sent it, much like we've done this podcast, is we sent him a phone number with an access code and all of that. And Laura and I had agreed to go in at a certain time, and we were going to be like 15, 20 minutes early into this thing. And
right.
So I call the phone. We were on the phone with each other, and we said, all right, let's go into the thing right now and wait for him, even though it's like 15, 20 minutes early. So we hang up, dial the number.
Well,
going,
we,
and it says,
let's define that we is not me, because I'm still at work.
I dial the phone, and it says, there are two people, or there's one person in the conference who I assumed was Laura, and it wasn't Laura, it was Peter. And so I'm like, oh, hi, Peter. And he's like, hi, I'm sorry I'm early, is that okay? I'm like, yeah, it's great. At which point I, like, hop on the internet and send a message to Laura. He's in this conference. Where the heck are you? And she's like, I can't find the phone number. And so because she's got the recording device, so she's got to get in the phone conference and she's got to hit the button to record. And I'm just sitting there chatting with Peter, and I'm like,
killing time, I think, talking about lunch meat, if I remember right.
No, actually, we did a lot of talking about, did we talk about lunch meat? I know we talked about Nurse Jackie, because we had one question about Nurse Jackie in that conversation, but
mm-hmm.
we, you know, it's like, oh, I've been watching Nurse Jackie, how's that going? And I'm really kind of, like, pulling stuff out of my butt while I'm typing to you different phone numbers.
Yeah,
trying to play out. So that he's, yeah, I think my message is like, where are you? Don't leave me in here alone with Peter Facinelli. Like I'm in the same room with him, right? No, he was in New York, and here
right,
I am.
Yeah, he's closer to me than you, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So finally she came in and we got the thing started, but that was an interesting moment of, oh, hi, Peter. Because I came into the room and I was like, hey, how you doing? And he's like, hi. That is not the voice I was expecting to hear.
No.
I thought it would be Laura. It was Peter. Yeah. Or the other crazy phone call with, we had, this was for
the
Twilight.
Other crazy, I was just going to, no, you're saying the other crazy phone call as if there is only one other.
Only one.
You know, which crazy phone call would you be referring to?
Rob,
there are far too many of them.
So, oh, I guess we were talking benchmark for Surreal. I hadn't finished the Peter.
Oh, okay.
From my own perspective. My father was clearing the memory off of my home phone, and because after we had recorded the conversation, we had contacted the iPhone app people again to tell them when it would go on. We had had a couple more emails about this, and they sent us images to post with it and things like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she had called me back to verify something. So she'd called on the phone, on my home phone. And so my father was clearing off all of these, you know, the caller ID list, and he gets to this one particular number. And he says, hey, Lori, who's so-and-so from a, you know, an L.A. phone number? And I'm like, oh, that's Peter Facinelli's agent with the iPhone app. Yeah, you can delete that. And I stopped, and I turned back around, and I said, and the fact that I just said that flippantly, like it didn't matter, that's a benchmark for surreal.
Surreal.
Yeah. Okay, so the other crazy phone call was the Rob call. And this is for Twilight.
Yeah,
am I just switching gears? Am I going too fast?
No, though, that's fine. I'm just remembering what this was. This was pretty funny.
Oh, okay. So we had already decided that Laura was going to do this. And it was all of the fan sites were going to be in a conference call with Rob.
With Rob.
And we were supposed to get one question.
Right.
And
you have to understand, Lori, I mean, I won't say that Lori doesn't work because she does. Lori is a single mom of two kids who are under the age of 8. I've said it a million times. If that's not work, I don't know what the heck is. But in any case, Lori's obviously has a little more flexibility in time during the day than I do because I work essentially what is a 9-to-5 or, you know, somewhere in that semblance of hourage job. And what happened is this phone call with Rob, the time changed on it like 3 or 4 times. So we get this other time change on it where I have cleared what I think is the appropriate time to, like, take this call over what will be my lunch hour, mm-hmm. and the call is now moved, and there is no way in the world that I can possibly, you know, now do this call.
Right. Well, but see, the reason we had given it to you in the first place is because back at the time this call was taking place, I had my daughter at home. She wasn't in
school. That's right. She was in preschool.
And so,
that's right.
Right.
She wasn't even in preschool. You're right.
And it just doesn't work to be on an important phone call when you've got a 3-year-old tugging at your leg, going, mama, 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 mama. You know, she just, you know, it just doesn't work. And so I was doing laundry. I looked crazy. I think I was in pajamas still. Laura calls me. It's like noon, and she's like, I am in this conference thing all day today. I cannot take the Rob call. You've got to call Rob Pattinson. And I'm like, what?
I was like, you want to talk to Rob Pattinson today. I have no time for Robert Pattinson today. You need to talk
like,
to Rob.
And then she, like, hangs up on me, and I'm like, did we discuss questions? And I'm, like, going through emails. I'm like, did we go back and forth? Because we never talk to anybody without discussing questions between us. Like,
right.
Well, what do we want to ask them? How do we want to do this? You know, what are good topics to talk to them about that somebody else hasn't talked to them about already?
Right.
So
right. You want to rehash it to death.
I'm going through emails. I'm like, did we discuss this? And I'm missing it. Where is this? So I think I finally called you back up, and I was like, I need a question because I can't think of anything. And so you told me the 2 or 3 things that you were going to ask him anyway. So even though I got to ask the question, it was really Laura's question. And then so stupid, we get in there, and the representative from Summit, who is directing the call, says, next we have Laura from the Lexicon. And I'm like, it's going to make a difference to Rob, right? No, I have to say it. Actually, it's Lori, because there's a huge difference between Lori and Laura, right?
In Rob's personal
really knows,
life, and he knows exactly who we are, yeah.
He knows exactly who we are, right, I'm sure. Oh, weren't you the person that filmed my buttocks?
God, I hate you.
You love me. Yeah, so that was the
I need that on a T-shirt. I'm the girl who filmed Rob's buttocks. Yes.
I'm looking here. Oh, how about, for a benchmark of surreal, how about, do we want to talk about David Slade and him sending us an email?
That was strange. That was, I mean, back, basically it was, I mean, the synthesis of it was that David Slade was promoting another project at the time when Twilight had come out, and the gist of the project was that it was a satire piece, and it critiqued and made fun, poked fun of a lot of different things, and David Slade was on an interview with a radio station saying, I'd never watch Twilight, I wouldn't want to do this, and I mean, he was doing it just to get a rise out of the audience, of course, never dreaming, I'm assuming, that he'd be directing Eclipse. Well, all evidence of this online, like, more or less disappears, except there's this brilliant thing known as Googlecation, Wayback Machine, and you can find anything. So this radio station, remember, you know, that does this interview with him, has the tape, and they start shopping it around, and I'm like, the heck is this thing? So I listen to it, and I'm like,
Oh, no. Yeah.
It's going to be bad. So I email it off to Summit, and I'm like, hey, guys, you might want to listen to this starting at the whatever mark. And then I send them the links that I found from stuff, old, like evidence of old stuff online. And I said, look, I said, if I can find this, anybody can find this. This is not high art here. Do you all have some kind of, you know, I mean, this is a viable story. This is a viable story. I am going to be running this story when our news flips over in the morning. So we have certain times when we post news. I was not going to, like, rush job this right out. I said, I am going to be posting this as part of my news tomorrow. It's a viable story. Do you have some sort of commentary? So, you know, I figured they're going to give me some canned statement. I don't know. So, like, in the morning, I get a phone call. Now, you have to understand, I don't often get phone calls. I get emails. So I get this phone call, and I look, and I'm like, okay, Summit Entertainment is calling me at work. All right, let's close the door. So I'm like, okay, hey, what's up? And they're like, oh, listen, you know, we feel, you know, David Slade feels really bad about this, and it was, you know, it was meant to be, you know, a satire at the time, and obviously it's taken out of context, and he really doesn't want people to feel badly. You know, and anyway, he really, you know, we're going to send you out. He's going to send you out an email, you know, explaining it, and really wants to apologize for the poorly chosen words. And I said, oh, okay, that's good. So I said, this is going to be like a press release coming out today to all the Twilight types? I mean, I figure it's a press release. And he goes, no, he's just going to email you. And I'm like, what? And he's like, David Slade's going to email you. I said, David Slade from his, like, personal email account is going to
email
okay.
us.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Which means right. somebody had to actually give him Twilight
I'm sitting here going, and like running through my brain at this point, because like part of what I do for a living is marketing and PR, and there is a portion of my marketing and PR brain that clips in at this point, and I'm like, what the hell if that was a good idea? You know, like, what do you mean he's going to email us? What? Don't give out your email address. Don't do that. You know,
yeah.
But, I mean, you know, so, but meanwhile, I'm going, this is really, you know, this, but then there's the other side of me going, this is pretty cool, you know. So, we, you know, so
you
I don't go
something
by
going
and we don't,
on that night.
Yeah.
It,
so
it was,
hours
you're
go,
supposed to get it that day. And you,
yeah,
have, you
like
had something
hours
going on
go
that
by
night.
And we don't get anything. And I'm looking and I'm looking and I'm looking.
And you're calling me going, will you check it again?
Check it again. So, we didn't get it. So, then I get another phone call from someone saying, did you get it from David? And I was like, no, what? There's nothing in our box. I'm looking. You have to understand, our email system, there's not a lot of stuff that goes to spam that isn't really spam. Like, Viagra ads go to spam. It's not like we have, it's not like we lose emails all the time. Like our stuff is pretty good. So he's like, no, he says he sent it to you. I'm like, well, maybe it went to spam. But I'm thinking, I mean, like, seriously,
why
we don't really have a problem with legit emails going to spam. So I go in, and now I'm dumpster diving amongst the Viagra ads and the, you know, bigger is really better, you know, and all these other, you know, I'm just wading through this crap in there. And then finally I see something, I'm going, oh, David Slade. So I haul it out of, you know, the spam, and we post it, and, you know, you can go back and see that entry. But it was really funny, and I kept thinking, Why did this go to spam? And then I realized what it was.
And people can probably relate to it, given what he's been tweeting lately.
Yeah, the if you see the little I don't think it's currently his avatar on Twitter, but the Twitter avatar before that was like this kind of like teddy bear looking character, which I don't know. I don't know if it's
it was like
bear is how he says that, but it looks like a bear.
Yeah.
Anyway, the signature in his email was that bear, but it wasn't a graphic of the bear. It was, like, made up of all,
lines,
like, parentheses
and
dashes and,
yeah,
and dots and ever. So there was probably, like, 700 dashes and dots and parentheses that made up this bear, which looked awesome. The problem is that most mainstream email systems read this as spam.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, that explains it. So that
well,
was actually
felt,
kind of funny.
We felt so bad. We were like, he emailed us. We don't see it. We don't
see it.
Are we incompetent?
So,
what's the matter?
Yeah. So I'm like, oh, that's why that happened. And I'm going, cool, Siggy, but it's going to spam. So.
The other thing that we thought we might talk about are people always want to know
who we want to meet that we haven't met yet?
Oh, yeah. That's a great question.
Well, the fact of the matter is
that we've also met different people. So that,
yes.
that's, yeah. So what about you? Like, who, like, I know I have like three that I know I haven't met that I would like to meet that are probably different than your three. So who, or three or
who
one,
do,
or how many
from
people?
From the saga that I want to meet that I haven't met yet, top of my list would be Michael Sheen. I do not hide this fact anymore. I'm out of the closet. I love Aro. He's probably my favorite character in the whole series. He's so sick and twisted, and I love him for his sick and twistedness. Yeah, why go with a goody two-shoe Cullen when you can have the Darkness King himself? Yeah, but he's charming. He's so happy.
I always think every time I read Aro in the books, honestly, I have Ricardo Montalban's, like, voice in my head. It's like, I am Aro, welcome to Volterra.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this little biplane goes by, you know, Dimitri's piloting the biplane, I don't know.
Well,
but,
see, and that's how I used to see it, because you would say that so often, that's how I used to see him, but now that we did a phone call interview with Michael Sheen just before New Moon, and interestingly enough, I was in my car for that, and I had him on speakerphone, and we weren't allowed to record this, and he does this like sing-songy Blue Meanies kind of a voice, and he starts talking like this over the phone, and now that's how I picture Aro. Oh, how lovely, just fantastic. Let's eat the people. Yay! That's how I picture it. Oh, lovely human beings. I'm going to eat you now. I love him to death. And from the other thing that's really intrigued me is in the interview that we did with Chris Heyerdahl, when he was talking about how, in his take, that by keeping Marcus around, Aro kind of did a disservice to himself, because Marcus kind of works as the conscious of the Volturi. Yeah, and so now I've got even more kind of sick and twisted ideas with Aro in my head about how he might manipulate Marcus to get around Marcus's conscience, or, you know, I don't know. Anyway, I love Aro. So I would love to meet Michael Sheen. Above and beyond the fact that he's Aro, he's, my goodness, he's Tony Blair. You know, come on.
Yeah, I know,
it's
true.
Did you see Frost Nixon?
Yeah. It's like Academy Award nominee, you know.
Yeah.
Knighted. He was knighted, I think, or Order of the British, or OBE, Order of the British Empire, still. I mean, you know, the man was recognized by Queen Elizabeth. I mean, how do you, you know,
and then
how do
every
you not
time,
just stand in awe of that?
Every time he's on Craig Ferguson, I have to, like, get up and go to the bathroom because I'm about to wet myself. I'm laughing so hard, you know. I would love to meet Michael Sheen. So should you name one person? Should we just name people back and forth, or just name people all together?
Oh gosh, my big one that I have not met. I would love to meet Kristen Stewart in person. I mean, the closest I've really gotten to meeting Kristen Stewart was sitting at the Comic-Con press panel, which she was, I don't know, 30 feet away, and there were probably 125 people in the room. So I would really love just to be able to ask Kristen Stewart a one-on-one question. So that would be absolutely, that would definitely be mine.
And pray that you don't get an umbrella stuck in your hair in that moment?
Yeah, I think I'll manage not to whap her with an umbrella somehow. I don't know, but I'll resist the urge to, or, you know, hit her with the camera mic or something. I'll restrain myself. But, like, the other, I do have, like, the other two that, I mean, this is just, like, the theater nerd in me. I would love to meet Anna Kendrick and Liz Reeser, because they're New York theater people. I just, you know, the theater nerd in me, this is what I want, you know. So who knows? So I'll be the one, like, stalking the alleyway after the show is over and being like, can I just have Lizzie Reeser's autograph, please? You know, that'll be me.
Yeah. Well, so kind of along the same lines as your Kristen Stewart, for me, it's Rob. You know, I can sit there and name all of these fantastic things that I've gotten to do in the last 4 years because of Twilight and the numerous amazing people. You know, I can say to someone, I was in a group of people that spoke to Chris Weitz for 26 minutes. Yeah, no. Did you meet Rob Pattinson? Oh, well, we don't want to talk to you then. You know, it's just kind of this little black cloud that's looming over me that I feel like I have a little sign pointing down at my head, has not met Rob Pattinson, of the entire fandom, has not met Rob Pattinson. Dagnabbit!
Well, you've got to talk to him over the phone at least.
Oh, yeah. And he just, you know, really remembers that. I'm sure what he remembers from that conversation was, what's your favorite dinosaur?
That's true. That was the most
Which
unique.
His answer was a Dilophosaurus. See, because I remember that.
Yes, no, we did not ask the dinosaur question. But, yeah, that's true. I would imagine he does remember. I mean, actually, he was probably kind of relieved in a sense, given all the things he does get asked. How often do you get asked, what's your favorite dinosaur?
Yeah.
It's a good thing he was a fan of Primeval, because I don't know what I would have answered if I was asked the question,
no, seriously,
frankly.
I was impressed by that answer, because most people would say, you know, T-Rex, you know, a dinosaur
right.
that has a common name. But the fact that he came up with the Dilophosaurus, and the only reason I know that is because I had just watched Jurassic Park with my son or something like that, and that had stuck out in my head because we're going down the whole wrong road here, aren't we? The Dilophosaurus is the one that, like, its neck pops open and forms this, like, shield circle thing, and then it spits stuff at people and blinds them. Yeah, that's the one that Rob Pattinson said was his favorite.
Yeah, I would be like,
charming.
Dinosaur, right? Have no idea. No.
Charming. Yeah. Just charming. Okay, what do we want to talk about now? Do we want to talk about stupid things that have happened in the fandom?
Oh, stupid news stories. We could go on by that on that about
forever.
Actually, one of my favorite ones was I just always think of of course now I can't remember. Monty Python, that's what I was thinking of. I'm not dead yet.
Oh, yes. Oh, but see, but the way that came about was so funny, because we got like a message from Elizabeth Uhlberg, who is Stephanie Meyer's publicist. She kind of sent us this little email, and she said, will you please post something about the fact that Stephanie is not dead?
And we're like, excuse me?
And I was like, wait, excuse me? So I Googled Stephanie Meyer is dead, and it was like every single website out there was reporting that she was dead.
It was like on the front page of Yahoo, and I'm like...
It was on Yahoo, Stephanie
I'm like,
Meyer
she
is
died
dead.
Of a drug over... I'm like, what?
What?
I was like... What idiot took this and ran with it?
What?
You know, it was like, really? You know, it's just like, you know, well, I keep wanting to say, you know what, folks, April Fool's is coming up shortly. Here's the deal. If you hear that Stephanie Meyer ran naked through Bourbon Street in Louisiana downing a banana daiquiri, it didn't happen.
It didn't happen.
Just letting everybody know. You know, April Fools, keep that in mind this year.
Or what about the lawsuits? Just the never-ending lawsuits. It was Laura's last funny, I don't even know how to call it, but, I mean, you pegged it right away, the lawsuit about Breaking Dawn being stolen, or the whole Twilight, was it the whole Twilight saga being stolen by her roommate?
Oh, that was hilarious. Yeah, that was pretty funny. This is like one of those things, when I saw it come up on a Google alert, I thought, surely no one will fall for this. This is just so silly. Because I saw it right away, Stephanie Meyer is sued by former roommate, and I click on it, and I'm looking at it, and I forget which site ran it first, and they were citing that Stephanie Meyer was being sued by her former roommate. Professor Peter Benton at BYU was backing the story, and it had come in over the AP Newswire. Well, I get AP Newswire alerts, and I'm like, there's nothing on the AP Newswire about this. So I went back and I look, and there's still nothing. And I'm like, all right, this is just somebody monkeying around, whatever. So I Google, like, a section of the story just to see where it comes from. And where it came from was, I won't throw these guys under the bus, but I'll just say that it came from a fan board for another author, where people were just joking around, posting, like, spoof stories. Well, somehow this other site thought it was real. And I don't even know how the heck you could begin to think it was real.
Well, it was the Peter Benton.
Yeah, well, aside from that, just seeing a news story like that originate on the fan forum of another site, like, it's not a legit source. So I'm looking at it going, okay, aside from the fact that this came off of a forum, it's not on the AP Newswire. Dr. Peter Benton, excuse me, have you never watched an episode of ER?
Yeah.
I'm like, at which point did the wheels come off the bus? And everyone and his uncle, you know, went out and repeated the story, and I think it was during, I remember if it was President's Day weekend, it was a holiday weekend. Never underestimate the ability for the press to be butt stupid during a holiday weekend where nobody can verify a story until Monday. And it went from, oh, surely nobody will fall for this, to the thing that just took off like crazy. And it was everywhere. It was positively everywhere. And I remember
kind of like
contacting Stephanie Meyer's publicist going, I know that you're going to think this is completely hilarious and stupid and ridiculous, but this story is everywhere. And she was like, what? I was like, yeah, I know, Dr. Peter Benton.
And you could do a very quick search of the professors at BYU and see that there had never been a Peter Benton
right.
at BYU.
Right. I thought, I was like,
even
was
on
like,
the off
just
chance that
on the off
had
chance,
that.
Right. And it wasn't. And I was just like, God, I mean, I'm sitting there going, there's no AP Newswire. There's no Dr. Peter Benton. And I've never heard of this Heidi person who's supposedly the, you know, the ex-roommate.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is craziness. But, you know, like I said, you never underestimate the ability
never
of people just to run with a story without fact-checking.
Yep.
It's pretty funny. It's pretty funny.
Well, that was everything that I had written down that we were...
I think that's what I got, too.
That we thought we might
cool.
talk
that's
about.
That's sort of our year... Our year summary. Well, other than to say we're going to be doing some, like, you know, fun stuff. I don't know that we've figured out yet if we're doing the giveaways before or after this podcast, but we'll figure it out. So
we've
either
some
there's some really cool stuff that we're giving away, or we just gave away some really cool stuff. I don't quite know which it is. So just roll with us here, folks.
I think the plan was that the giveaways were all going to stem from the podcast, that we were going to ask trivia questions based on the podcast, right?
Aha, uh-huh, yes. This would see the gray matter's a little slow here these days. So yes, that would
well, it is
that
late.
Would that would be what it is. So yeah, so hopefully you've listened to us and had some fun with us, and we'll be doing some trivia questions based on this podcast, and we'll be giving away some pretty cool stuff that we've picked up lately.
And
which will be fun.
And if you're curious, there are other podcasts out there. Do we have a section with the links to the podcast?
We do, and we are so pathetically behind with our former podcasts. Yes,
our former podcasts.
We used to call them Forks Casts, F-O-R-K-S Casts, and they are somewhere on the link bar on the lexicon. So if you look them up, you can find the former episodes. They are out there.
So they're out there. I have them. I have them on my iPod.
Do you really?
That's
I don't
pathetic,
know where mine are. They could be somewhere. It was actually like three computers ago, so I'm not quite sure where mine are.
Yeah, it was three computers ago for me, too. Seriously. Yeah, now that I think about it, because I use a laptop now, I have upgraded. I got the smartphone. I got the laptop. Yeah, I've upgraded.
And this is cute, and this is huge if you've ever seen Lori's technical ability or lack thereof.
Shush. I know, the fact that I, like, started a website, and not just one, but two, because
mm-hmm.
I did start a Harry Potter website once upon a time. So the fact that I actually started a website and that it's, like, kind of successful is ironic because I don't know anything about technology.
Yeah,
much.
Really.
Yeah, I usually just say to Laura, can we do this? And she figures out how to, or her husband figures out how to do it.
Right, right.
Yep.
So anyway, I hope you guys enjoyed this as much as we did kind of going down memory lane. And we're going to be giving away some cool stuff for our, you know, for our four-year anniversary here.
And we have, I'm sure we're going to have lots more to talk about and to post. I mean, this year we've got Eclipse coming out, and the DVD will be out this month. The New Moon DVD will be out this month, and my goodness, if they don't make a Breaking Dawn announcement, even just to say that they've abandoned it, come on, they got to make a Breaking Dawn announcement at some point to appease the fans, because they're, you know, they're chomping at the bit, drooling at the mouth. That's probably the number one question. That we get asked all the time, when are they making Breaking Dawn? I don't know.
I know. Like, if I knew, I'd be, well, I told somebody the other day, I said, sweetheart, if I knew the answer to that, I'd be playing the odds at Vegas.
Yes. Exactly.
Seriously, I'd be betting that in Vegas if I knew the answer to that one.
So hopefully we'll have that this year. Hopefully we'll have that this year. And so, yeah, we've got, there's still a lot more to look forward to in the world of Twilight and Stephenie Meyer and all of that. Yeah.
So,
here's to the last 4 years, and here's to another year. Hopefully many more years, right?
Sounds good to me.
Yeah.
We'll
see you if you see us at a convention coming up this year, tell us hi. Stop by, say hi, and that's it for this edition of the Forkscast Resurrected, I guess is what we kind of need to call this.
Yeah,
right?
At this rate, it'll be 2 years before we do the next one.
3, 4, who knows. All right, bye.
Bye, guys.